studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for being with us this week at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. This week, we are taking up the subject of the doctrine of the wrath of God. This, of course, there isn't any teaching more neglected today than this subject, or at least more confused and misunderstood. I, the other day, was driving through Linden, and I saw a license plate frame, and it said, "Smile, God loves you." I thought to myself, you know, I've never seen a license plate frame that says, "Frown, the wrath of God is on you." That just wouldn't work, would it? But the fact is, at least biblically speaking, the wrath of God is just as real as His love. The wrath of God is presently upon those who have not come and believed in Jesus Christ. Why has there been such a rejection of this notion of the wrath of God against sin? The neglect of this really comes down to the fact that by nature we hate God. This was one of these convictions by R.C. Sproul in his book, The Psychology of Atheism. And in that book, he basically said that all atheism has to do with man's dislike of God. God is repugnant to man. And his real desire is that God would not exist. The reason being is simply that we hate His attributes. We hate His sovereignty, we hate His omniscience, we hate His immutability, and most of all, we hate His holiness. All of these things are sort of intrusions upon our pursuits to being our own little gods, controlling our lives. But there's nothing more that we hate more than the notion of a God who is just. I mean, if confrontation with a holy God, even by the best of people in the Bible, was an awful, terrifying thing, surely such a notion of standing before a holy God who must punish sin will be something repugnant to us. We've built up a defense system against this, of course. We've learned to pick and choose what we like in the Bible and close the book on those things which we dislike. We, for some reason, forget that the very same Jesus who said, "All who come to me, who are weary and heavy laden, who come to me, I will give rest." That was the very same Jesus who also said, Luke 12:49, "I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." We ignore the fact that the very same God who tells us of His love, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life," is the same Jesus who struck down Ananias and Sapphira in judgment in Acts chapter 5. You see, we've sort of learned to divide the Old and the New Testaments, of course. We are a bit like the ancient heretic Marcion, who once said the God of the Old Testament is irrational and vengeful and quick to judge and destroy, but the God of the New Testament is kind and gentle and love. He understands. He tolerates things. There used to be the conviction, of course, that the wrath of God was one of His attributes, His justice. Just as beautiful and as treasured as His love, because it spoke to the fact that this just God must deal with sin, or He wouldn't be God. But today, the idea is repugnant to a people who have become fat off the land and can't stand to think of God disrupting the paradises that we've built on this earth. So let me ask the question today to you who are listening and are contemplating what's being said. What has been the starting point today when it comes to preaching? I'm amazed at how few can see this. Where have we started today? Well, we've created a God of our own imagination that starts with who? God? No. God is shoved to the side, and instead we start with man and his advancement. And we are told we make things relevant by starting with the needs of the people. We have to help them break their bad habits and their moods and the bad days that they're having. And it goes right down the line. And at the end of the motivational speaking that we often hear, it is couched as a message, Jesus is mentioned and offered up as sort of a power bar to help those who will accept him. None of this, of course, really affects authentic change of the heart. What does Paul begin with tonight as we, today, as we start the epistle and look at the heart of the epistle to the Romans? He understood that the greatest issue facing mankind was not their bad attitudes, but the way in which they stand in relation to a holy God. Paul knew that what needed to be impressed upon sinners was this great need to be in a right standing and a relationship with the God of heaven and earth who is angry about sin. So where does Paul start in Romans? He doesn't start with all the things that people start with today. He starts with the great truth of God's wrath. It's only when we really understand how great God's wrath is against sin and what we have done to provoke this wrath that we will see that the greatest need of the day and the greatest need of the moment is not a quick fix to my felt need, but a transformed life that looks to Christ and the power of his gospel. In verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, Paul breaks into one of the most definitive statements of God's wrath against sinners in the Bible. Listen to Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, Paul had just given this theme statement to the whole book in verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. Here he spoke of how a sinner can be right with God. There is a way of escape. There is a righteousness provided for the lost sinner to whom he can flee and be covered from God's wrath. And so we read this opening theme statement of Romans in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." The good news, that's what gospel is. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. In the good news, God has announced a righteousness by which we can come and find shelter from his wrath. Why? Well, because the real reality is that all of mankind is under the wrath of an angry God because of our fallen Adam at the beginning. And so Paul says something very profound as he begins to impress upon us just how bad the situation is. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed. This, of course, is nothing new. Throughout the Old Testament, the wrath of God was constantly being revealed. Who can forget what the Lord said to Moses when the children of Israel made a golden calf? Exodus 32, verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. In fact, in the Old Testament alone, over 600 passages deal with this. J.I. Packer once said, one of the most striking things about the Bible is the vigor with which both testaments emphasize the reality and the terror of God's wrath. He's right. If you were to take your concordance, I think A.W. Pink said this, and you would find that there is clearly way more references to the anger and the wrath of God than his love. So Paul begins here in Romans chapter 1 with the body proper of the book. The wrath of God is revealed. There are a few different words, of course, for wrath in the Bible. One is thymos, and that means to be in the heat of violence. And there's another used in the book of Revelation that speaks of God's unleashed fury. But the majority of the words used for wrath is the Greek word orge, his hottest wrath. And orge here simply means the wrath that has been growing ripe over a period of time. Here Paul uses orge. When he says the wrath of God, the orge of God is revealed. And what Paul is saying is that this is not some sudden fury or outbreak against sin, but one here that has grown and is determined over some period of time. It is what Colossians says. Because of these things, because of, he gives a long list there, rebellion against God, and this is Colossians chapter 3. So because of these things, the wrath of God, the orge of God, is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This is crucial to understanding the passage. This is not a wrath that is a fly off the handle sort of thing, but a wrath that is determined and controlled by the same God who is long-suffering and calling sinners to himself and taking no delight in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn and live. But the real emphasis here is on the present form of the verb. The wrath of God is being revealed. Here, what Paul is saying is this is not something just for the future. Of course, we think that wrath and judgment comes only on judgment day. There is, of course, a point coming when the wrath of God will be fully revealed. But Paul here is saying it is already happening against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How so? Godliness, ungodliness is a direct attack against the Lord's character and unrighteousness against his law. It is a direct attack against God leveled upon him and his word. Now, how is the wrath of God being revealed presently? We'll consider that this week. That's what Paul says. This is in a present tense here. The wrath of God is presently, is being revealed. How so? Well, his wrath against sin. And you know, as we close this message today, let me say, his wrath and his seriousness against sin is most demonstrated in his fury poured out upon his beloved son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. If you are not in him, the reality is the wrath of God presently abides on you. When you come to Jesus, he shelters you from his wrath, and you can know for sure that when Christ laid down his life, he covered you in his blood and righteousness. That's what the gospel is all about. Let's take up this great truth of the wrath of God this week, that sinners might understand all the more how they can be right in the presence of a holy God through the blood of his Son. The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on each Sunday. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.